Near FM.
I am all the way over to Glasgow now to speak to John Keane, president of Macrina Pharma, speaking to us this afternoon from COP26. John, thank you so much for taking the call. I know you're extremely busy there, and I'm delighted to talk to you.
No problem. Pleasure, absolute pleasure, and good afternoon to you and all your listeners as well.
John, there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about, and we're going to try and get through it as fast as possible. Talk to me first about the establishment of the National Food Ombudsman. This sounds like a very officious type of a person indeed.
It is, and it is very important, I suppose, to give a piece of context and a bit of background. Over the past number of years, I suppose the young farmers and farm organisations in general would have been looking for a rebalancing of where the power lies within the food supply chain and how that looks from the point of view of from a farmer's perspective and how they're negotiating with actors within the food supply chain further up. And I suppose last year's budget in 2020 would have, I suppose, ring-fenced €1 million for the establishment and development of the National Food Ombudsman. And similarly, we've seen in 2021's budget, the budget for next year in 2022 has similarly outlined a budget of €4 million for the allocation for the establishment and development of the National Food Ombudsman. And I suppose from our side of things within Macrina Pharma, the big ask from us is the urgency in which this needs to be established in order to give those farmers the vision and to show them where the supplies and where the power do act within the food supply chain and to redistribute that power back to the smaller suppliers, because we do feel that there is clarity that needs to be provided within the food supply chain, and also in terms of redistributing the power balance. It is something which is very important from a farmers, of which there are 110 or 12,000, versus when you move up the food supply chain, that pyramid gets a lot narrower and there are fewer actors, and therefore they have more control over different elements of the market. So from our end of things, it's hugely important that National Food Ombudsman is established in this coming year, but that is given real teeth and real powers to address the concerns that farmers have in terms of the food supply chain.
Now, John, for those who are not fluent in the Irish language, Macrina Pharma stands for Sons of the Land. Now, I think we've moved on. We could nearly put Drafoor in it as well. Daughters, sons and daughters of the land. As the next generation, now I know you're farming, and a lot of Macrina Pharma members are, as we speak, they are farming anyway, because having grown up in the country, I appreciate that you start farming as soon as you can walk nearly. Are you worried for your generation of farmers when you see what's coming down the tracks?
I think, first of all, just to touch on our own organisation, and you're right, the direct translation is into Sons of the Land, but I suppose over the past 77-odd years, the organisation has grown into an organisation of around 11,000 members or a little more now, and it covers aspects of farming and it covers aspects of rural youth, but it also has a huge presence in competitions, in debating, in public speaking, in the performing arts, as well as a huge base within our membership for a social element, which we're very glad to be back to. And, of course, our policy aspects of young farmers and rural youth are very, very important to us as we move forward and have been over the last number of years. I suppose from a farming perspective, as a young farmer's perspective, there are an awful lot of, I suppose, moving parts within the sector at the moment, and parts that can have a huge bearing on what the future of our sector looks like and of what the future opportunities that are provided within our sector. And I suppose from the point of view of young people, it's always very important to highlight the importance of the next generation coming into any business, into any enterprise or into any section of society. If you look at the numbers of young farmers entering farming over the last 10, 20 years, those numbers have decreased steadily. In the early 1990s, when I was born myself, there was up on 10% of the active farming population who were under the age of 35, and now that figure is around 5%. So those figures are worrying from a young farmer's point of view.
That's a startling statistic, John, in such a short space of time. And I don't mean to you know, to sort of insult you by saying that anyone born in the 1990s is so very, very young and it's such a short period of your life. But I mean, to go, to drop 30%, that's a third gone in that space of time. That's worrying.
It is. It's worrying from the point of view of the sector not attracting in young people into the sector or not affording the opportunity for young people into the sector. And I suppose as someone who is active in the sector and have been, as you rightly say, since I could put on a pair of size 2 wellies, I was out in the farm from 6 and 7 years of age in the way most of the time. But that's the realities of what happens on farm. And I think as we move forward, and you, I suppose, referring back to your earlier question of what the future looks like, I think from the outset of what you said in terms of COP26 and its ambitions to meet our climate targets and to address the climate challenge that we have, we here in Ireland and we as young farmers and within Machrin Pharma, we firmly believe and we're of the opinion that Irish farming and Irish farmers and Irish farm families are perfectly positioned to meet that climate challenge and to address it head on and to drive forward our practices and our principles and our on-farm impact to better and to improve our environmental impact. I mean, if you look at us on a global scale, we are world leaders in terms of our dairy produce that we produce. We're among the best in Europe and among the best in the world in our livestock enterprises. On the beef side of things as well, we're ranked fourth in the world in terms of our emissions and in the top percentages on a global profile as well. But if you look at our overall sector within agriculture, you look at the green grass that our animals graze on outside, or whether that be our tillage sector that's fertilised and that's given nourishment from the rain and from the climate that we have here in Ireland. We are uniquely placed both in terms of our climate and within our food systems production to produce food at the most sustainable way, in the most environmentally friendly way, and in the most water-friendly way. That, to be honest, from travelling over the world and seeing different food production systems, is not mirrored in many places across the world. So I think from an Irish point of view and from a young farmer's point of view, what we really need is we really need support and we really need champions of our sector and champions of what we do here in Ireland, because we should be really proud as a farming population and as a wider population in terms that our farmers can hold their own with the best in the world and the produce that we produce is sustainable, is environmentally friendly, and is rightly atop the world produce in terms of quality and traceability.
And everybody in the world wants the Irish agricultural product, be it meat or dairy products. Everybody wants it, and there's a very good reason for that. John, can I ask you something? And it's something that I would be interested in hearing an answer to, because I have an opinion on it myself, which I will not share because I'm not supposed to. Do you think that the agricultural sector in Ireland are being talked at rather than talked to when it comes to climate change? Because I can tell you from growing up in the country, there are no better people for looking after their farms and looking after the hinterland and the animals than the farmers, because that's their bread and butter.
Absolutely. I think the key word in all of that is talked with and consulted with and given the opportunity to input into the changes and the challenges that we must address. Because I would agree with you in terms of the Irish farming landscape, the Irish farmers, the farm family model that our agriculture is based on here in Ireland is not mirrored in many places across the world either. Over 99% of our farms in Ireland are run by family farms, by fathers and sons and fathers and daughters and mothers and sons and mothers and daughters and a mix of all of those in between. And I think from a reacting and from a moving the dial forward to meet those climate targets that we acknowledge as farmers, we do need to change. We do need to make on-farm practices to change for the better. We are already engaging in programs which are voluntary programs to address our impact on water quality, to reduce our footprint, to increase our efficiencies, and to provide, I suppose, solutions that will lead to more environmentally friendly practices. I mean, if you look at the period over the past 10 or 15 years, yes, the growth in our dairy sector has grown in the amount of product which we have produced, but our emissions profile per unit product has reduced by 14 or 15% in the same period of time. So farmers are fully committed to reducing our impact and improving it. But I think the idea that we're talked about in headlines and on the front of newspapers, that, you know, the image that's portrayed in terms of Irish farming is not positive for farmers, nor is not positive for Irish agriculture, nor is it positive for the Irish family model. Because
but outside of that, John, outside of that, and the only reason I'm cutting across, John, I really do apologise, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm cognizant of time and I'm cognizant of your time as well. You know, we had a famous carbon tax in the budget, which drove the price of fuel up, for a start. Everybody said, oh, yes, that's a great idea, because it'll curtail the amount of fuel that's burned. Now, a farmer farming down the country, using a tractor and using machinery, whether carbon tax goes up or carbon tax goes down, he still has the same amount of work to do. So he is going to burden exactly the same amount of fuel as he burdened last year, except it's costing you more to produce the product. Then let's just move it along. He produces the product and the man comes and collects it in the truck and takes it off to be processed. His cost has gone up. The processor processes it and moves it along to the end of the supply line. Now, I'm obviously simplifying things here, John. And it arrives on the shelf again on the back of a truck and on a pallet. And their costs have gone up. So consequentially, the person who drives to the shop or gets the bus to the shop, having paid more to get there, now has to pay more for the product because the costs right along the line have gone up as well. And everybody is being negatively impacted in their pocket because we're still going to need the same amount of food. We're not going to change the way we can produce it because we are producing the best food in the world. So, I mean, you know what I mean, John? Like, the knock-on and the ripple effect in the pond here is huge, and people should start to realise that.
I think that's a hugely valid point. And I suppose to link two of those points together, from the consumer paying at the end and the increase in price, I very much hope that in terms of the increase of price of farm gate is reflected in that. Because if we look at history and if we look at the last number of years, the consumer prices may have increased at when you're going in to buy your bread or milk or your pound of butter or whatever it might be, that those prices might have increased. But the reality is, for the farmer on the ground, a lot of those times those price increases are not felt. And that's where to link back to our initial point in terms of the food ombudsman. We need that traceability, we need that assurance that what's happening in the food supply chain is reflected in the on-farm gate prices and that fairness is there. And I think on the wider point of the impact of carbon taxes and the impact of the increases in costs, you are right, because in terms of the electric vehicle usage and that's being promoted at the moment is fantastic. But if you move to rural Ireland, the number of electric charging points that are there to supply that, there isn't sufficient amounts to meet the demand that there is in rural Ireland if all of the rural young people within rural Ireland were to move to that. Or similarly, there isn't an alternative for myself or for other farmers to use electric vehicles to do work on farm and to do work on land. Or similarly, if you're travelling the roads and you see a trailer being pulled behind a car or a jeep, there isn't at the moment the technology for to do that with an electric vehicle either. So those people who are using those, whether that be farmers or whether that be tradesmen that you see, there isn't an alternative for that there. And I think that's where the joined up thinking of ensuring that at the same time, yes, we do recognise we need to change, we need to make improvements. At the same time, there needs to be alternatives, but we also need to offer those who are in the best position the opportunities to move it forward. And I think the classic case in point there is, if we look at some of the discussions around electricity generation and the shortages that we might be facing into this winter, the farmers of the country would have said for a long number of years at this stage that all our rooftop spaces that we have on sheds or on community buildings right across the country have the opportunity to house solar panels and to generate electricity from those solar panels. But there hasn't been the appetite, either in policy or in regulation at government level, to ensure that those retrofit schemes and the refit grants and the feed-in tariffs into the grids have been there to allow us to do that. So there needs to be a joined up thinking in terms of, yes, we do need to make changes. Absolutely, we accept that. But at the same time, we do need to be supported in order that we can benefit and that the environment can benefit from making those changes, because we do firmly believe that both of those things are possible. And as you rightly say, farmers need to be consulted with as opposed to be spoken about.
John Keane, President of Mochran Affirmer. John, I am so, so grateful to you for joining me today, and I do appreciate that you are under extreme pressure, so I am so grateful to you. There was a load more I wanted to talk to you about, but when maybe in the next couple of weeks, when COP26 is over, I might get you back and we'll have a more detailed chat about maybe things like Brazilian beef appearing into Europe. But in the meantime, John, listen, thank you so much for joining me, and I am extremely grateful to you.
No problem. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I'd love to talk to you again and to your listeners again. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Near FM.